This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Now that the debt ceiling deal has cleared the final hurdle, we're going to take a closer look at one of the people who played a key role in the negotiations. Bill Daley came in as White House Chief of Staff at the beginning of this year. He was expected to bring stability and a centrist approach to managing the White House. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports on whether Daley has lived up to expectations.
One of Bill Daley's biggest selling points as chief of staff was his close connection to the business world. During his years at J.P. Morgan Chase, Daley built friendships with business leaders. Those leaders became antagonistic to President Obama in the first 2 years of the presidency, and the White House hoped that Daley could undo some of that bad blood. So it was a bit awkward last week when NPR's Steve Inskeep broke the news to Daley during an interview that the Chamber of Commerce supported House Republicans' bill to raise the debt ceiling over White House objections. Daley stayed cool as always.
Well, I spoke with Mr. Donahue, who runs the Chamber of Commerce, and he indicated to me that he was sending a letter to all the Congress. He did not indicate to me that he was supportive of Speaker Boehner's plan at all. So I have not seen the letter, but in my discussion with him, he sure did not indicate that to me.
Daley then referred to it as the plan Mr. Donahue allegedly has endorsed. The Chamber of Commerce did endorse that Republican proposal against the White House's wishes, and a powerful association of CEOs called the Business Roundtable took the same position. Johanna Schneider is the group's executive director for external relations.
Bill Daley understands business. He reaches out to business. He asks questions. He wants to know our views.
Be that as it may, on one of the biggest crises of the Obama presidency to date, the business community did not have Mr. Obama's back. Political scientist Ross Baker of Rutgers University says that's not necessarily Bill Daley's fault.
There are no permanent allies. There are only permanent interests. And personal friendship or appeals from the chief of staff at the White House isn't going to make a big difference.
Daley spent the last month deep in negotiations with Republicans in Congress over the debt ceiling. People had high expectations for his performance. As Commerce Secretary in the 1990s, Daley helped President Clinton push the North American Free Trade Agreement through a Republican Congress. This time, he got a deal through, but it looked nothing like the goal Daley described last week on NPR's Morning Edition.
There ought to be a balanced approach, including revenue.
There is no revenue in the debt ceiling bill, only cuts. Tom Fiedler of Boston University's College of Communications sees parallels with Daley's performance from a decade ago. Fiedler wrote the Almanac of Florida Politics, which includes a section about the Bush versus Gore court case that put President George W. Bush in the White House. Bill Daley was Al Gore's presidential campaign manager back then, and Fiedler says Daley always seemed conciliatory.
The Gore campaign was completely outmaneuvered by the Bush campaign, legally anyway, put themselves in a position where they were constantly on the defensive and having to respond, and ultimately that position failed.
But John Cowan of the centrist Democratic group Third Way says there's no way Daley or any chief of staff could have won more concessions on the debt ceiling deal from Republicans riding a wave of Tea Party enthusiasm.
I think Daley is going to go down as one of the more effective chiefs of staff in a highly polarized moment in American politics, who got some substantial things done, got some very big offers on the table that broke with Democratic orthodoxy, and helped reposition the president in the center of American politics for his reelection.
Repositioning in the center and breaking with Democratic orthodoxy look like strengths to Cowan. But to activists on the left, they are a sign of betrayal. One of those liberal critics, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, posted a video by the band Portishead on his blog this week.
From this moment, how can it feel this wrong?
Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.